Alright, it's begun. It's another day. I just made a recording yesterday. Wow. You know, much earlier today, so there's more to talk. Because there is more to talk about. I had an interesting dream last night. It started me thinking. What it was I was at a high school. I don't know if I was being a substitute teacher or a teacher or whatever. I've never been a teacher. I never went to school to be a teacher. I got a teacher certification when I worked at the prison because they needed somebody to teach the prison. And at some point I actually used it to teach in public schools, and I did it for 1 year, and by mutual agreement I walked away from that because I was just, I'm just not that sort of a teacher on that level. It's not my profession, nor anything I ever felt competent to do. Anyway, so in this dream, I was teaching some classes, doing my normal thing, just kind of punching the clock and just trying to kind of make it, just kind of making everything kind of work. And said it before, and all of a sudden, there was some kind of a gathering. I don't know what it was all about, but Joyce Davis, who was my my baccalaureate college advisor, and taught a few of the classes I was in. And she was there in the dream. She was like the administrator or something. A lot of home ec teachers. That was my baccalaureate degree, was home economics. High school, public school home ec teachers. I don't know if she ever was. I know my other mentors, about half of them were, and the other half were not. But, okay, so she was there. And she was the administrator, and she was talking to me and the fellow sitting next to me, with who I don't know. One of my coworkers. And she said, "You guys need to go get your PhDs." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And she said, "You need to get your PhDs in veterinary science." And I was like, "What?" And it was such a what thing that it kind of, at least half, woke me up. And I remember saying to her, I don't know a thing about veterinary science, and I'm not interested in it. And she said, "Fine, whatever, get your PhD in something." And it was like, okay. So, I was awake. And for some strange reason, Lisa was awake too. Really weird. Usually she's still asleep when I wake up. And I said, "I had this weird dream." And she goes, "Oh, okay, interesting." I don't have a lot of dreams, so we tend to think more about them because they're uncommon. And the sound quality is a little different. It's because I'm in Lisa's car, talking to you through Lisa's microphone system that's built into her car that connects by Bluetooth to the recorder. So there's that. All right. So I was sitting there and kind of talking out loud, thinking out loud to Lisa, which I often do. It makes her nuts. Lisa's completely different from me. We are so different. But then, to be honest, I don't think any particular family can handle more than one crazy lunatic, which is how I normally, describe myself, as psychotic, whatever, for just having these weird needs that I usually have to push down to help Lisa feel better about things. Anyway, so I was thinking out loud, because I remember a story by Henry B. Eyring, right now first counselor in the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A person that I have taken advice from for many years. And one of his things was, because his father, he had been in science. His dad was a renowned, I think he was a physicist. Anyway, and he was following his father's footsteps. And he had gotten his master's degree, and he said, okay, he says, now I'm wanting to get my PhD. And his dad pulled him aside, and he says, now, how, before you decide what you're going to get your PhD in, make sure it's something you really love and care about. Apparently, he was a smart guy, Henry B. Eyring. Smart fellow. And he probably could have pursued and successfully won a PhD in any number of fields of endeavor. And so he did all that, and he decided to get his doctorate in business administration. He decided to get a DBA. And he's glad he did. Glad he did. Now, so I was thinking that. I said, I need to be really careful not just to go for the cheapest, which is my first run to always, is to go to the cheapest, easiest, quickest. I am kind of like the ultimate pursuer of the dark side of the Force. And as you guys already know, if you listen to any of these things at all, I've always had kind of strange affinity for Ubiquity University, which is quasi-unaccredited. I don't mean to be rude to their element of being kind of self-accredited. That's probably a nicer way to say it. They're mostly self-accredited. They are part of an accrediting body, but it's not one that's really terribly approved. Anyway, I take some heart from the fact that everybody called Benjamin Franklin Dr. Franklin. He never pursued education, particularly. I've been reading his autobiography. I'm not done with it. I think I've got to, like, probably about 1730 in his life. He's thick in printing. He's printing up people's, he's printing up money for the British government and for various colonies. Anyway, but he ultimately got mostly honorary doctorates from different universities, and actually started one that I think became the University of Pennsylvania, or joined with what became the University of Pennsylvania. It doesn't matter. Got this stuff pulled together. Anyway, and people called him doctor, and, you know, I've had kind of a kind of a love hate lust relationship with having that sort of a title, which is like some kind of dirty habit, like smoking. But if you have it, you might as well use it. So I've always felt like I needed to be in the company of PhDs. It seemed to work out well like that for me. When I most recently went back to work for Eastern New Mexico University in about 2015, Joyce Davis was being honored. She had retired from, or was it Merlene Olmsted? I don't remember. One of my mentors in my baccalaureate in college, whom I love, I don't want to say one bad thing about them. I can't say that I paid tons and tons of attention to my classwork with them, and I hope that's not mean to them. I love them to death. The women who mentored me in college, I find them a marvelous. Anyway, one of them was getting honored. It was either Merlene or it was Joyce, one or the other. And I went to their little dinner that they had, where she was one of the honorees. And I happened to be there with Francine, who I had worked with the most and the longest. And I don't remember if it was Joyce or Merlene. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. Anyway, and they were just so excited to see me. And it was like, I felt like I was the worst student. Ultimately, I only worked for a little while in the field that they were in, home economics, child development, things like that. And then I left. And I went off to do something I consider to be kind of on the low side of the totem pole, which is just, you know, computers, information technology. I really do, at least for a guy like me, it's really kind of low. I went and I kind of bluffed my way through a master's degree in information technology, network management. It's kind of a sloppy mix of an MBA and an IT management degree. And I don't mean to be rude to any of those people. I did attend one lecture. I just did all of the work. It was an online thing, and I did it. So anyway, I always kind of knew that I was going to become, or I was going to earn a PhD. It was just a question of in what, because nothing really reached out to me. Okay, so we're sitting there in bed, Lisa and I, and just having woken up, sun's coming up, and I went, I said, you know what, I was thinking about all this stuff out loud. She was dutifully listening. Lisa always dutifully listens. She can't hack it anymore. Was talking about Henry Eyring, the advice he got from his father and mentor. And then I said, well, you know what, given all the things that I've done, the things that I've continually striven to do, and they're totally outside of work, I've never made much money at all, in fact, pennies, on my writing. And writing really wasn't a thing. I didn't really want to become a writer, which means you have to churn out a lot of really pop, you know, really uh, what am I trying to say? Public? No. A lot of populist schlock to make money as a writer, to actually live like a writer. You know, you see all those movies of somebody who says, okay, well, here's an example. The TV show Castle. This guy's name is Nick Castle, and he's a writer. And he's got more money than he can deal with. He plays poker with other successful writers. He always seems to be kind of in between books. And then at the very end, he started his own detective agency, and you go, you know, he was a writer. And you're going, and it's an absolute lie. Writers are predominantly, I don't mean to be rude, nicotine stained, coffee swilling, just cranking it out 10 to 12 hours a day, cranking it out in front of a keyboard. And it's like, is that what you want to do? Now, I was spending time behind the keyboard, but there's a question of what you were going to write about, and I wasn't writing about anything that interested anybody. Anytime I ever sent my work off to people, to have it reviewed for publication, it's not that I didn't get a little bit of interest. There were some things that I got interest in, mostly the short stories. Anyway, but then I would come back and say, you know what, this is really good writing, but I don't really have a there really isn't a market for this. Which means you're not going to be able to make a lot of money off of it. Writing will almost have to be a sideline. So it's like, okay, so you already know now, because I was just recording about that I just finished Prophecy. The Prophecy book in the Navigatory Rumination. I can't hardly speak. I feel really bad, because at some point, it's just going to get so terrible that it's like, oh, he doesn't even get invited to talk to any place, because he just stutters along through it. So I just need to finish. So I was just saying, well, I just need to finish that stuff out, and if you know what I need to go and do. It's been bugging me for ages. I've really felt a weird kind of, this is good for you, Demro, which is, yeah, wisdom studies from Ubiquity. And Lisa's scared to death, because when I've given her the information about it, you know, is there to cater to all kinds of weird tastes? And one of them is like weird fertility cults, you know, just basically sex, you know, orgy as enlightenment type places. I need to keep assuring her that I'm okay. But I've also been finding that my weekly church experience, you know, on Sunday at worship services, quote, worship services, which I'm a little scatty about anyway, is getting more and more just troublesome for me. I can't really... It's bad, and I'm starting to influence Lisa that way, and that's bad. It's like, you know what, I just need to kind of put a little distance there. So, of course, that's troublesome. Everybody says, oh, no, he's going to go inactive, and you go, I'm going to keep coming to church. Because to be really honest, I think I'm gonna start being kind of quiet. And right now, as I'm thinking of it, I seem to recall hearing from people who used to get on to Harry Reid. You know, he'd go to church. He was a Latter-day Saint, faithful Latter-day Saint. As far as I'm aware of, temple worthy. And, of course, he was a very important, I think he was the leader of the Senate at the time, and he was very much, and he would come to church, and he would have a couple of Secret Service agents that were there to protect him. And that was a weird thing. And but the sense I got from this guy who said, yeah, I used to go to one of the D.C. wards, and it was, you know, and he would just come and sit in the back, and he wouldn't really engage. And I think he pretty much told the leadership of the ward that he would really appreciate it if he wasn't given responsibilities beyond just what a Latter-day Saint had, like home teaching and stuff like that. Although that was a little weird too. And maybe I should appreciate the fact that I've been kind of shoved off into a corner. I go to the temple every week to do endowments. I enjoy that. I've gotten some intimation. They said, oh, you should be a temple worker. We could really use some more people on Tuesdays, which is when I usually go, because it fits into my schedule. And I think I'm going to need to concentrate. Well, I'm not sure, but I think I might need to say, you know, I've got something else running that I really need to concentrate on, because I don't want to spend forever getting my PhD. I want to get to it. I want to make it happen. Not knowing where it's going to lead, I almost never know where things that I've done are going to lead. I don't know how much my master's has really been relevant to anything, except for the fact now I could move immediately to my PhD and not have to go through a few years of just, you know, leveling up. I've already leveled up. I'm fine. So, yeah. I was thinking about many of this stuff out loud to Lisa, and in the past she's been really negative to it. I don't like it, Jason. I don't want to do it. So, and I used to talk about doing a doctor of ministry because I thought it was more kind of like I need to go out and proselytize certain ideas and stuff like that. I'm not sure that is. I think that's a step down from a PhD. I think it's slightly less expensive, but at this point it's not really a problem. I have money at the moment. I have the resources to do this. I have the resources in my pocket just a couple of weeks ago before I put some more into an annuity for a few years. Regardless, I'm still making money. And while I'm making money, I need to do something like this that costs money to produce this thing. Already something is coming where it says the something about the value of stories in the religious experience. The Bible is mostly stories. especially the ones that seem to capture the heart. The kids all know the stories, you know, the Old Testament. Most of them are in Genesis. So the Book of Mormon is basically stories, a family's stories. The experiences they had and what they did. Really, really poignant. And then they would occasionally talk about what they felt was important. Love the Book of Mormon for that. So I told Lisa, okay, I'm going to consider this yet again. I think it's about the third or fourth time I've considered it. And the last time, I actually participated in some webinars where the person who runs the program, I forget her name, Zabo. Ms. Zabo. Anyway, I forget her first name. She goes by her first name. It's not like she's some kind of weird, you've got to use my title. Of course, she's got her PhD. Anyway, she's the person over it. And really, there isn't much outside of this organization than wisdom studies. Except for some really kind of counterculture spiritualist stuff. Which I don't have any real interest in getting involved in. So, you know, kind of the whole Earth Mama thing. I can see that. But I don't want to be rude, and I know there's some good in it, in that it certainly helps incredibly broken people. And which is kind of interesting. I mean, people who have like gone to war, PTSD, people who are really horribly abused or tortured or came from terrible circumstances. Things I'm often accused of. Anyway, those sorts of kind of, I go up into nature and I meditate, quiet myself, stuff like that. This is, no doubt this stuff is of great value. Especially the people who are just totally destroyed by life. And it's a magnificent coping mechanism for this stuff. And those who are practitioners of it, love those guys. They're wonderful. But me, personally, I've got certain standards that I need to meet, and it can't really delve into that stuff too much. I don't think I'm one of those people. It's too easy to try to paint yourself that way. There's plenty of clinical ways to call a person like me disabled or you know, you need to be institutionalized or any number of things. And at some point you have to say, I'm not going to go in that direction. The whole universe of self-care, I find a little bit, just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Kind of like crosses. Just makes me, Anyway, so, I need to talk to those guys. I don't know if they're family. I forget. Anyway. I'll figure it out before I talk to her. And I think I might do this. If she thinks it's a good idea. Now, there's every chance she says, you know what? No, this isn't for you. It's like, okay, all right. So that was part of what I was wanting to know, is if this was going to benefit me in something. He says, but can I say I am listening to spiritual guidance here, and it keeps bringing me to your door. And even though it might be like, oh no, you just aren't a good fit. We just aren't, you know, we're just really esoteric and stuff like that. And you go, well, I'm probably a bit esoteric too, but I'm probably esoteric to the esoterics. And I think I would still like to glean from you guys what I can get from you. I still like to at least go through the PhD program. I do not want to get 3/4 of the way through it and then have you guys say, you know what, you're really not our type. We are not going to award you a PhD. And it's like, oh my gosh. And I don't know if I'll really get weird about the waste of money. I've wasted plenty of money in the past for all kinds of reasons, mostly to assuage other people's need to do something. Which is like, you don't need to do anything about this. Anyway, so I think that's what I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna reconnect with it again and pursue it again and try and decide to go into it. Just know this is, you know, once the decision was made to get my master's degree, I got my master's degree. I moved I moved twice while I was getting my master's, but I still got the master's done the little amount of time because I just didn't have, it just looked like I wasn't going to have enough money. So that was it. I just had to get it done in the time allotted. And I finished it. It was great. And everything was fine. I says, don't worry. Even if there's distractions. Oh, no. I moved 1, 2, 3 times. I started it at our old place in Tucumcari when I was still working for New Mexico State. And then I got the job at Eastern. We decided to move to Portales, sold out of Tucumcari the first time. We moved to Portales, and that was kind of a farce. Really couldn't afford the move. Hilarious, given the fact that we had a much larger house in Tucumcari. Anyway. And then we went off to Oklahoma City, chasing money, working for Dell, and then I went to work for the military. Everything has kind of built upon, one thing upon another. Anyway, so I had done my master's program through not just 2 moves, 3 moves, 3 moves. A major, I mean, all during this period, I had 6 kids who were high schoolers to college kids. So I think I would approach it saying I'm a lot less hairy than I was before. I've gotten extremely well-paying job, and you know, and to be honest, it's not really all that taxing. I'm not God's gift to the job, but I'm competent in doing the job. And as much as the job wants me to do, I'm able to do. So, there's that. Anyway. So I think I can talk him into it. And there might be some talking to do. Saying, I think my spiritual journey is leading me this way. I'm almost getting to the point to where my church does not fulfill my spiritual needs particularly. And I don't like being wadded up. You know, some people find extra fun in the weird minutiae of things. I was a clerk at church for a long time, and I, at least my conception of part of that role was to make sure that we were hanging in there with the policy changes that came out. I said, at this point, I'm not, you know, I don't really think I'm useful that way. Plus, I'm not the clerk anymore. I really shouldn't be digging into the policy manual. I should stay out of it. I don't really want to get into the fact that church is not being run the way the policy handbook says. I think this is pretty normal. Policy handbook is not very adhered to at all. People mostly like the church to look like it did when they were, you know, when they were young growing up, how they felt. Everybody has their favorite bishop, so everybody tries to emulate their favorite bishop. And to be really honest, bishops aren't supposed to be that way much anymore. And so that creates a certain issue for a lot of people. Anyway, so it's like, no, I'm not taking a step back from the church, but I'm not engaging with the church as if I were wanting to get church leadership. It says it's not interesting. It seems like that's not where I should be going. That my journey is elsewhere. That I still go to church every Sunday. I still participate in Sunday services. I still have a calling, although I'm kind of grateful that the calling that I have is really not all that, you know, intense. To be a temple worker might be a good idea if it keeps me kind of sidelined from everything else. You know, it says, don't think about me for leadership positions. Or, it says, not anybody would. It says, I'm already kind of kooky around church, and I already make people feel uncomfortable, so it's almost like, you know what, I seem to come. I need to be like Harry Reid, sit in the back. And work on my other thing. I guess people ask, well, what should you get your PhD in? It's like, it's really esoteric. It's hard to explain, so I don't even try. People are used to that with my job. You know, they go, so what do you do? What are your job? And they really press. And they go, oh, I just do computers for the military. And gladly they'll just kind of say, oh, okay. You go, good, okay, that's done. So, anyway, I I think I'll probably, I don't know, we'll just see. But that's kind of how I'll approach it at first. When people ask you, so what are you up to? And you go, oh, I'm working on my doctorate. Uh-huh. Well, it's a project. Should go up your town, huh? All right. Well, there's that. It's like when I was walking around Santiago. The most important things the military tells you when you go to another country where America might not be appreciated, which is most places, try to be as inconspicuous as possible. Blend in. And I think to a large extent, most of my life, in almost every endeavor, I've been blending in. Everything's about money. Everything's about getting a better job and stuff like that. Even when I haven't really pursued it, it's just come to me. And the impression is to just do it. Just go for it. Don't not take the next job that pays better. Torque into this job that really, you know, that really doesn't use up a lot of my time too often. Today it's going to, because a bunch of patches have come out. It's time to push out all the patches. But yeah. I've gotten to this place. It's sad that I'm 59 and I'm just getting, or I was 58, oh my God. 59 when I'm getting to this place, and it's like, well, now I've got some time. I've got some resources. That's kind of a first. But I can do this thing. And, to be honest, I can put probably the amount of time and the amount of thought that it really needs into it. And I guess this recording is even more so a prayer to say, Heavenly Father, is this the way forward? I want to keep going forward. I know I am on some level have always been a lazy bum. I go, of course, you can always say, well, he was just uninspired. And you go, yeah, maybe. I hope at 59 it hasn't become just such a rut that I'm in, just as much as Lisa gets into her ruts. That when it isn't useful to be a lazy bum anymore, or to be just a guy that sits around and thinks all the time, that I can still do what needs doing in this effort, which I don't know exactly what the effort really is. Doing family sovereignty, and that's really good. I set up the website. I've got, you know, when I run across articles about family and sovereignty, it's been mostly about fertility lately. I don't know what it will expand into. I really don't. Or if it will expand, if this is basically what it's going to be. A little bit here, a little bit there. A lot of the program a ubiquity, spend some significant time trying to ferret out just what exactly you want to do with what you've got, what you bring. And of course, you know, done a lot of writing, a lot of very interesting writing. Not really stories. You know, you say, well, he's got a novel. You go, yeah, technically, I think Godsend could be described as a novel. My more recent stuff has been less so. And I think I just wanted to push out this last one. Which is true. I said, I'm going to continue working it, and then I'll put it out there just like I always do. Put it out as an Amazon book, put it out as an ebook. Don't go crazy. I do know marketing. This guy really wants to get around. So please, go for it. All right. Which I really don't care. Anyway, so yeah, I think I can push a lot of things away saying, you know what, I've started my PhD program, I'm just gonna, you know, I just don't need other things intervening particularly. I'm not gonna, I'd really appreciate it if I wasn't considered for anything. Said, on the off chance that you're thinking of doing that, please don't. Among other projects. So, there's my prayer. I need to go ahead. Formalize that because I want to get some inspiration toward it. So I'm going to leave it off here.